Firstly, thank you for coming out tonight. I know it's not an easy night tonight, and certainly not a Tu B'Shvat type of weather. I'm not really sure what I was thinking when I decided this topic. I must have looked ahead a month, but we are within the Shloshim Yom. We are within the 30 days of Tu B'Shvat, and there's a concept, Shloshim Yom Kodma Chag, 30 days before the Yantif, we could already start preparing. And they also say when it's cold out, you should think of the beach and summer days. So if you think of Tu B'Shvat, maybe that's going to warm us up a bit. So I want to discuss a little bit about the parsha and connect it to Tu B'Shvat, getting us excited for it. The Psukim tell us in this week's parsha in Sefer Shmos that 70 people, 70 members of Klai Yisrael walked down to Mitzrayim. And if you go back a couple of parshas, we'll get to the sheets in a moment. But going back a couple of weeks ago, Parshat Vayigash, the Psukim go on to delineate, list each of the names of the 70 people who went down to Mitzrayim. Now, if you go through, in fact, there are only 66 names that are mentioned, not 70. And so Rashi tells us that Yosef and his two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, were among those people. And then Rashi tells us there was a 70th person, the 70th person who was born, who was Yocheved. Yocheved was born Bein Achomo, says the Gemara. She was born as they were entering into the walls of Mitzrayim. So she was the 70th person. So now it's a very strange thing that everyone else gets mentioned. Every single name is listed of the 70, but Yocheved is completely ignored. Her name isn't mentioned. And in fact, she's not mentioned until Parshas Va'era in a couple weeks. So the number 70 is a very powerful number. You know, in our house, Friday nights, we like to play games with the kids. We play different types of fun games related to the Parsha. We'll have the kids go out and do skits, and we have to guess what scene they're acting out from the Parsha. So one of the games we like to play is, I'll mention the number 10, let's say. And I'll ask them to go around the room and figure out where in Halacha, where in the Torah, we find the number 10. So they'll tell me a Seres Dibros. They'll tell me 10 is a minion. So if I were to ask my kids, what's the significance of the number 70? So then they might tell me, well, 70 is the number of people who went down to Mitzrayim. And 70 is the number of members of Sanhedrin. And 70 are the numbers of the Ummah Sa'olam, the nations of the world. There are 70 nations of the world. And the number 70 is there are 70 languages of the world. And there's 70 Shivim Panim La Torah. There's 70 different ways to learn the Torah. So what's the significance of the number 70? 70 means when there's an entire entity, the entire package. 70 members make up a Sanhedrin. The entire Sanhedrin is 70. 70 Panim La Torah, there's 70 ways to learn the Torah. So the Medrash says, had Klai Yisrael entered into Mitzrayim with just 69 people, they may not have made it. They weren't an entire group. They were not an entity. But it was because Yocheved was born in just the last second she was born that made it 70. And now they were considered an entire entity and were able to withstand the Shibud Mitzrayim. So that begs the question, so don't you think she should be mentioned? A little bit of an acknowledgement, recognition that she was number 70. She pretty much saved Am Yisrael. Now, if we look in this week's Parsha, another situation, she's mentioned under the disguise of Shifra and Pua. So this is a second time where she's serving as a hero. It was due to her and Miriam that they saved all the children who Par wanted to kill. So yet again, we're disguising her name under Shifra and Pua. Doesn't she deserve a little bit of recognition? I mean, the schar she got, the reward she received for saving all these Jews in Mitzrayim, was the batim. The Torah says they were zocha to have the bais kahuna, the bais malchus. Yocheved was the mother of Moshe and Aaron. She was the mother of Sheva Levi, Sheva kahuna. So maybe we should mention her name, Yocheved. You know, perhaps some of you are feeling this way of the things you do around the house. Lack of appreciation from perhaps your husband or your children. You know, running a household is not an easy thing, I would imagine. Shopping, cooking, cleaning up, in some cases taking out the garbage, packing up, going away for vacation, perhaps having a job. So what's the lesson from Yocheved that we could learn of what it means to not really be appreciated, not really be recognized and acknowledged for the things that all of you probably do on a daily basis? When's the last time your husband said to you, or your children said to you, thank you so much for dinner? Thank you for packing my bags this morning to school, packing my lunch. Thank you for buying me that pair of shoes that I needed, or that new coat, or the new sweater, or getting me the food, or making me that steak that I really wanted. You know, rabbis also go through this feeling of not feeling appreciated. Rav Asher Weiss, who happens to be in town right now, so last year when he was here visiting Woodmere, we had a little vad of the local Rabbanim. And he was giving us some advice. And one of the things he said to us as rabbis, you can never be insulted. Just because this person didn't bring you shalach manos, you can't get insulted. They're not doing it maliciously. You can't take it to heart. So it reminded me that one year I got a phone call from someone on Purim. And he wanted to know, I have a good friend of mine who I got him some business. And so he called me up on Purim. He lives in the area and asked, where does that guy live? So he wanted to deliver that guy shalach manos, but didn't come to my house to give me a shalach manos. So Rav Asher Weiss, he says, you can't get insulted by these things. Rabbi is not the first thing on their mind. We get enough shalach manos. Trust me, we don't need the shalach manos. There's plenty we have and we give away. So you can't get insulted, even though sometimes you might feel like you're unappreciated, you're not recognized and acknowledged for the hard work that you're putting in. This past Aseres Yemei Tshuva, I mentioned this Rosh Hashanah, I think, but I'll mention it again now. A little boy came up to me, and he says to me, I want to ask Mechila for all the things my parents said about you. So the truth is, he didn't really say that. What he said to me was, I want to ask Mechila for all the things I've said about you. But this is a little boy. So he really meant what his parents were saying about me. So, yes, as rabbis, as mothers, wives, as ladies, all the hard work that you do, when's the last time you really received a compliment that you wanted to do of how you looked or how you dressed or how you cooked, how you did this? You know, men are not very good at giving compliments. They're not. But that's a whole other issue. That's not for this. This year is about how to deal with the fact that you may not receive those compliments. You might not receive that acknowledgement of the hard work from your children, from clients, whatever context you're in work. So I want to go through an amazing piece. There's an idea, I don't want to get into the discussion what a Gilgul is, but Yocheved, the Svarim tell us, Yocheved was a Gilgul of Chava. What that means in our terms is that Chava, as we'll go through, had done something wrong, and Yocheved's neshama was supposed to be in this world, was brought to this world to fix the mistakes of Chava. That's the idea of the Arizal, that Chava did something wrong, and Yocheved is here to fix it, or she was here in this world to fix those mistakes. I want to walk through these sources, and once you see them, it becomes so obvious the connection. You almost wonder why you did not realize this connection on your own. But let's walk through now and see how, in what way, Yocheved and Chava are connected, and then I think it's going to bring back in a very important yesod and principle as to how we could really feel appreciation and recognition when we're not. So let's go through number one. If you look at the right column, we'll do right, left. So the first, number one, starting from Chava, it's a pasuk in Bereishis. The pasuk says, Vayihi Adam, rather, Vayichi Adam shloshim u'ma'as shana. Adam was 130 years. Vayoled bidmuso kitsalmo, he gave birth to a child, or his wife Chava, he had a child. Vayikra es shemo sheis. So they had a child named sheis. So what's the relevance of 130 years, that he was 130 years old? We already know he had Cain and Hevel earlier. So Rashi points out that he had separated from his wife Chava for 130 years. And 130 years they got back together and they had a child Sheis. So now look what the Medrash says. We know that Yocheved and Amram had separated. And then the Pasuk says on the left side, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, that's referring to Amram, es bas Levi, and married Yocheved, Efsher Bas Kufla Mishana goes on to say a whole point there, but she was 130 years old when they got back together and they had Moshe. If you look at number two, what was the child, what was the name of the child of Adam and Chava? Vayikra Shemo Shase. And what's the name of Moshe Benu? Says the Pasuk in this week's Parsha, Vatikra Shemo Moshe, Vatomer Ki Min Hamayim Mishi Sihu. Almost Me Shase. As if the Pasuk is saying that Moshe Benu came from Shesh. So Yocheved was a Gilgal of Chava, the mother of Shesh, and Yocheved was the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. Number three. We know when Chava had eaten from the Eitz Hadas, so she was cursed with a number of things, as was the Nachash and Adam Arishon, but our focus is on Chava. So the Pasuk tells us, this is number three now in Bereishis, El Ha'isha Amar Harbe Arbe Itzvonech, you're going to have a lot of pain, V'heironech Be'etzev Teldi Vanim. And with great difficulty and pains, that's how you're going to give birth to children. I've been accused of being insensitive to my wife when she's pregnant and during labor. So I'll share one story with the women around here. My own insensitivity. My first child with Batsheva, when she was born, before she was born, it was a Thursday night. And I didn't know much about having children. This is my first one. So we went to the hospital Thursday night, and the nurse said, it's going to be a while, probably not until the next day, Friday. So one of my closest friends was getting married that night. His name is Igal Sklarin. So we were in Columbia Hospital, uptown in New York City, and he wanted me to sign the Tanaim. So I said to the nurse, you think I could run over to, it was in the atrium in Muncie, you think I could run over there and sign the Tanaim and I'll come back right afterwards? So she said, there's no question in the world that the child's not being born at least until tomorrow afternoon. So thank God for in-laws. So they were there and they brought plenty to eat and plenty to do. So I left my wife with the in-laws in Columbia Hospital. I went to my friend's wedding. So when I got there, I wanted to get things moving so I could sign the Tanaim and leave. But they were waiting for one guy, so it got delayed. They got delayed. Where's your wife? Where's Randy? I didn't want to tell anyone that she was in labor at the time. But thank God I made it back with 14 hours, I think, still to kill. So it was all fine. But part of the curse that Chava received and all women thereafter was that they're going to have tremendous pains in labor and delivery and raising children. So what does it say? What was Yocheved's tafkid? What was her job in this world? The Pasuk says in this week's parasha, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lamilados Ha'ivrios Asher Shem Ha'achas Shifra Shem Ha'shenis Pua. What was her job? To make labor and delivery easy. To undo the curse, to undo that pain that Chava was cursed in experiencing. Yocheved was here in this world to fix that, to change that, to make it better for all the women in this world. Number four. What happened when Chava saw the Eitz Hadas? Vatera ha'isha kitova Eitz lamachal. She saw that the Eitz Hadas was so pretty and tasty, and it looked good. She didn't taste it just yet, but it was kitova Eitz lamachal. It was good. And what happened when Yocheved gave birth to Moshe Benu? It says Vatara ha'isha v'teled bein vatera osa kitov hu. Just like Chava saw that the Eitz Hadas was tov, Yocheved saw that Moshe Benu Vatera Oso Kitovu. So it's becoming pretty clear there's a very strong parallel between Yocheved and Chava, every step of the way here. Now, what was the fruit of the Eitz Hadas? Which fruit was on the tree? So there's a whole range of opinions. It was a fig, it was a grape, it was wheat. I'm going to go with what Rashi says, based on the Pasuk in Parshas Toldos. Yitzchak Avinu wanted to give a bracha. He wanted to pass the bracha on to his child Esav. Rivka would not have that. She would not allow Esav to receive that bracha. So we know the story that she had dressed up Yaakov to feel like Esav, and Yitzchak couldn't see. So he got there, and Yitzchak is feeling around and feels like my son Esav. And then he smells something. Yaakov smelled like, says the Pasuk, Reach b'ni kireach sadeh. Yitzchak says that you smell like a field. You smell like something special. What type of field did he smell like? Says Rashi, it was this field the smell of the Reach HaGan Eden. And what was the Reach HaGan Eden? Zeh Sadeh Tepuchim. It was an apple tree, an apple orchard. That's what he smelled, apples. So we see from Rashi that Gan Eden, the Eit Hadas, was an apple tree. It was a tapuach. So if you look to the left side, this is a Medrash quoted in the Gemara and Sota. You can follow along. I'm going to explain the English. But one of the reasons why the women were called Nashim Tzidkanios in Mitzrayim. Women in Mitzrayim were attributed with saving us. The redemption, the Geula, came because of the great women we had in Mitzrayim. So the Gemara explains that Bishar Nashim Tzidkanios Shayu Ba'osu Ador. It was because of these great women that lived in the generation of Mitzrayim that all of us were Nigalu, all of us were redeemed. What did they do that was so great? So the Gemara explains that they would go out and draw water. And when they draw water, Kadosh Baruch Hu had put fish in that bucket of water for them. So in essence, they went shopping. They went shopping for fish, they went shopping for food. And they got fish, and they got meat, and they got water. And then the Medrash says they'd go home, and they cook some hot soup. They'd cook some fish. So what goes on here? They go shopping, and then they go cook. So nothing special about that. And then they would go out to their husbands in the field, and then they would bathe them, they would give them food and drink and take care of them because the husbands were working so hard like slaves. And they really treated them like kings, despite the fact that the husbands were so weak and tired. Someone recently told me Rav Akiva Tatz was giving a shiur somewhere, and it was entitled something along the lines of building relationships and marriage. He was giving a shiur for some time and talking about something completely off topic, nothing to do with marriage. And so a lady raised her hand in the back and said, I thought the shiur was about husbands and wives' marriage. He says, oh yeah. The important lesson is that whenever the wife walks in the house, the husband should stand up and treat her like a queen. And when the husband walks in, the wife should stop what she's doing and treat him like a king. And that's the only principle. If you follow that, that she's a queen and he's a king, everything else is going to fall into place. So what the Gemara is describing here is how the women treated the men like kings. Despite the fact that they were slaves in Mitzrayim, they shopped for them, cooked for them, fed them, gave them to drink. And then after all that, they had babies. And where did they have babies? Says the Gemara, you can look at the inside in the bold. Holchos v'yoldos b'sode tachas hatapuach. Where did they have babies? Underneath the apple tree. Strange thing. Apple trees where they had babies. And who was the one delivering? Who was the OBG there? Yocheved. So this is another parallel between Yocheved and Chava. The apple tree. The fact that Yocheved was the midwife. Chava was cursed with having labor pains and Yocheved was trying to make it easier. They both had a child named Shace or Moshe, came from Mishisi, who came from Shace. And they both had a child at the age of 130. So it becomes so clear to what the Arizal teaches us that Yocheved in some way was a Gilgal or coming to fix the mistake of Chava. So now if we take it a step further and understand, what was the mistake? What was the actual mistake that Chava made in Gan Eden? If you could really boil it down to one point, what was the mistake that she made? We know she ate from the Eit Hadas. Was it that she ate the fruit? Was that the problem? She ate too much? Was that the issue? So there's an amazing Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And I think with this principle, we could figure out what Yocheved accomplished, and we could figure out how a person could really find a sense of accomplishment, a sense of acknowledgement and recognition for things that they may not be receiving the compliments that they're getting, but they deserve it. So what was the one mistake that Chava made? So the Or HaChaim says, you know what her mistake was? She was impatient. She was impatient. She didn't wait. She didn't wait for what? The Medrash says, had she waited until Shabbos, it was Erev Shabbos, I don't know exactly what time, had she waited an hour or two and let Shabbos set in, she would have been allowed to eat from that Eitz Hadas. Had she held back just a couple hours, the entire world would have been extremely different. There would be no death in this world. We would all be living in Gan Eden. Because she had impatience, lack of self-control, we were banished from Gan Eden, and we have a world that we have we're trying to fix. Impatience is the key to the problem of the Eitz Hadas. That was the Aveira of Adam and Chava. So how did Yocheved fix that? How did Yocheved come to fix that mistake of impatience? So what does the name Yocheved mean? What's the shorish of the name Yocheved? Kavod. Comes from the word Kavod. Yocheved has the letters of Kavod in it. So why does a person want to be thanked? Why do you like to be thanked? Does a thank you really mean anything? You're going home from a restaurant, you bought your kids some toys, you're going come back from vacation, and your kids don't say thank you. So you say, what do your kids say? And they say, oh, thank you. One kid says thank you, the rest of them all say thank you. Is that really doing anything for you? Because you made your kids say thank you, does it make you happier? Because they said thank you because you made them say thank you? Why do people like thank yous? Now, thank you is an important thing. I'm not putting it down at all. But it's also a very strange thing that who was the first person in all of Chumash, in all of history, to say thank you? Leah. Leah had a fourth child named Yehuda. She named him Yehuda because now she wants to thank Hashem. So she didn't thank Hashem for the first three kids, they all ask. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov never thanked anyone in their life. She was the first one ever to say thank you. So the reason why we like to receive a thank you, we want to be acknowledged. We want honor. We want some kavod. That's why you get a thank you. You want to make sure you're doing a good job. So Yocheved, whose name means kavod, she knew how to find the right appreciation, how to receive the kavod that we all want. We all want kavod, not because we want kavod, but we all want to be thanked because we want to know, is the soup good? Is there enough salt in it? Was the steak cooked properly? Was it medium rare, however you like your steak? Were the meatballs saucy enough? We all want to be thanked because it gives us the honor. It gives us the recognition that we deserve. So Yocheved, whose name means kavod, means honor, she understood how to look for the proper thank you. She had patience. Meaning what? When he had the 70 people listed, she wasn't mentioned. You have Shifra and Pua, her name wasn't mentioned, she was disguised. She was waiting for the right time. She was being very patient for the right time to receive the proper kavod. Because the Gemara tells us that a person who chases after kavod, ha-mechazer al ha-gedula, one who chases gedula, which means recognition, perhaps a position of authority, a person who chases after honor, gedula bareches mimenu, it runs far, far away from you. V'chol ha-bareach min ha-gedula, gedula mechazers achrav, those who chase, rather run away from kavod, then honor runs for you. Yocheved was running far away from kavod. She did not want kavod. She didn't care that her name wasn't mentioned. She didn't make a big deal in the 70 people. She didn't care that she was called Shifra, not by her real name. She did not care. She ran far, far away from kavod. I'm going to share a story now that I'm going to probably repeat on Shabbos, but I think it's a good guess no one's going to be here on Shabbos. It's going to be quite cold. But a couple weeks ago, someone said to me, not from the shul, but someone who gets the shul emails, says, it looks like the Rav and Rebbetzin aren't coming back to America. I said, interesting. Why would you say that? So he says, you saw those emails, that back and forth, the change. What emails? So a few weeks ago, around Hanukkah time, the Rav and the Rebbetzin had written an email talking about the wonderful time they're having there. You know, they're going on walks, they're going out to restaurants. Weinberger has told me he hates restaurants, but he's doing that, he's going to restaurants, he's going to the gym, and wonderful things there. So I said, yeah, so they're having a nice time, they deserve some vacation. But no, but then he said to me, you saw that the first time around it said Rav and Rebbetzin, and then they wanted to fix it and said, now it says Moshe and Myrna. So he wanted to throw away the rabbi title. So he doesn't want to be the rabbi anymore. I said, are you kidding me? The reason why he did that was, he doesn't call himself Rav Weinberger. When he leaves a message, he said, hi, this is Moshe Weinberger. You don't call yourself rabbi. That's why he was doing that, because he was throwing away his title, his position, the rabbi in Eish Kodesh. He's not going anywhere. He's coming back, trust me. I hope. So, you run away from kavod. And when you run away from kavod, so then the kavod chases after you. Yocheved did not look for kavod. She did not look for that thank you, that appreciation. She was Boreach min Hagdula. She ran far, far away. And when is she finally mentioned? Her name is mentioned in next week's Parsha. Finally, when everything comes together. It says, Vayikach, this is Parsha's Va'era, Vayikach Amram es Yocheved Dodaso, Lo Leisha, they had remarried, Va'tele Lo es Aaron ves Moshe. And they had given birth to Aaron and Moshe, which we know. But this time around, it tells us they weren't just regular kids. Hu Aaron and Moshe, says the Pasuk, Asher Omar Hashem Lahem Hotziu et Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim Al Tzivosam. These were the children who were not just regular children. These were the leaders of Klal Yisrael to eventually take them out of Mitzrayim. You know what her greatest nachas was? And the greatest recognition of a pat in the back? The fact that she was able to raise children like this. That was the greatest thank you that she could receive. That's the greatest kavod, the greatest honor, to have appreciation from a child, from a student, from a patient, from a client. When you see that there's success in something that you put hard work and time into, that's the greatest kavod. She didn't look for it. She wasn't chasing after it. She was patient. She was trying to fix the tikkun of Chava, who was impatient. But with the proper patience, she got the proper kavod that she very much deserved. Good things, as we know, come to those who wait. Now is not the time. Maybe I'll share this another time. But the people ask me often how I ended up in Eish Kodesh. A lot of kashas, how I'm in Eish Kodesh. A lot of questions. But in short, it was just a matter of just waiting for the right time, the right opportunity. Wonderful things happen to people who wait. It's all about patience. And Yocheved had patience. She didn't look for the kavod. She did not look for the recognition. I think that's the answer for all of you, all women, all men who work hard, running a household, who work hard cooking and shopping and working and making money and raising kids and packing bags and doing laundry, all of that. The greatest nachas is when you see your kids and you see success in your kids and your grandkids and all that what you put effort into. Even though there's no thank you being said. Remember, Leah was the first one to say thank you. Avram never said thank you. Yitzchak never said thank you. Thank you is a very nice thing to say. But what a thank you does, it's, as I mentioned before, it gives you an acknowledgement that you did something correct. But there are other ways to express that. Yocheved and Shifra were midwives, which is something that you would imagine does not give back so much return, so much recognition. The child doesn't say, thank you for delivering me. But she found recognition and nachas when they cooed at that baby. They played with that baby's cheek and made that baby smile. Watching the baby turn over, crawl, walk, eat. Every stage, even though there's no thank you, it's the nachas of all the hard work that you're putting in and you're seeing success. That's how Yocheved saw her Akar Satov. Moshe Beinu never said thank you. Moshe Beinu had tremendous Akar Satov to the sand and to the water for saving him. Right? He wouldn't hit the water for Dam. He wouldn't hit the sand for Kinnim because it saved him. Do we find anywhere he goes over and says thank you to the sand, saying thank you to the water? No. He showed his Akar Satov and his appreciation by not hitting it. That appreciation that all of you deserve comes in different forms. Sometimes kids, oftentimes kids and husbands, are just not capable of saying the proper thank you that they should. But it doesn't mean they don't care, they don't appreciate all the hard work that you do. It just comes in a different way. And the greatest example of where a person sees nachas, a person sees appreciation for his hard work, is a farmer. A farmer is out there working all day, growing fruits, vegetables, and there's no one saying thank you to him. But yet farmers are so happy living by themselves on farms. And they're happy when they grow trees. Because what does it mean to grow a tree? They put a seed in the ground, and an apple tree begins to grow. And they just sit there, and they just wait. And then they're patient. And the moment they see that apple growing on the tree, they see the fruit of their labor, That's their thank you. That's their nachas of the hard work that they put in this apple tree. But you know what's further interesting? What's the halacha when it comes to a fruit tree? They wait a full year. Tu b'Shvat, the fruits begin to grow. The first year you grow an apple tree or any other fruit tree, you can't eat it. They have a beautiful apple tree. All of the delicious apples, they can't eat it. There's a halacha in the Torah. There's an iser called arla. You cannot eat a fruit tree for the first 3 years. So that means year two, they wait another year. You still can't eat it. Year three, you still can't eat it. Year four, you have to take a Kedush Shalayim to you. There are restrictions. It's not until year five, to the fifth year, till the farmer could finally eat that apple wherever he wants to. That's a lot of waiting. That's a lot of patience. A lot of patience for the farmer, for the one growing that apple tree. And the word Elon, you know what the word Elon means? Elon's a tree. Elon also comes from the word Lina. You know what Lina means? The lashon of sleeping. To just sleep and wait. You don't do anything. It's just about patience.
What do you do for all those? Can you give them to animals?
We'll get to halacha afterwards. But for the Elon, which is a lashon of Lina, to sleep over and just to wait and do nothing. Farmers just place the seed in the ground and they just go to sleep and wait. It's about patience. Patience of waiting. Farmers are very patient, and yet they see the fruits of the labor because the nachas comes when they see that delicious apple off the tree. That's what it's like to be a parent. Sometimes it requires patience till you see that thank you come in different forms. And that's a lesson from Yocheved. That's the Tikkun of Chava. So Tu B'Shvat now, which is a celebration of the Ilanos, a celebration of the trees, the patience that the farmers have of waiting for those trees to give off the fruit. There are two interesting minhagim that we have in Tu B'Shvat. One is for the men. The Bnei Yisachar writes that men should daven a special tefillah on Tu B'Shvat. They should daven. Anyone know the tefillah they should daven for in Tu B'Shvat? Any guesses? An esrog. They should daven for a beautiful esrog, exactly. Why? Because again, esrog, I should mention this before, we're talking about the tapuach tree. Tosas writes, even though we define the word as a tapuach as an apple, I've been using apple, it really means an esrog tree. So when we said apple before in the Mitzrayim, and we said apple, the reach hasada of the smell of Yaakov, it was really an esrog tree. Says the Bnei Yisachar, on Tu B'Shvat, where we're celebrating the farmers who have that amazing, amazing self-control and patience for the fruit to come out, and they're waiting 3, 4, 5 years to finally eat those fruit. So then we ask for a beautiful esrog, which is that very fruit that Chava ate too soon. She was impatient, so we're trying to fix it by asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a beautiful esrog this coming year. And that's also why, by the way, there's a segula, that women who are in labor, they either eat or smell an esrog, because it was the esrog tree that Chava ate from too soon. And it was because that esrog that caused all the pains of labor and delivery. But there's one other interesting minhag which I never understood, and just tonight it hit me. I don't know about you, but growing up in New Jersey, on Tu B'Shvat they gave out, what fruit would they give out? The boxer, the carobs, the hard things, you know what to do with them. So what's the relevance of boxer? Who knows, right? So just tonight, Baruch Hashem, before the Shia, I just was thinking, and the Gemara came to my head, which I think really brings everything together. I think everything full circle. It's a short little story, and we'll finish with this. It's a lesson in patience. Patience in seeing nachas from your children. Nachas from all the efforts you put into. And a story about a great tzaddik named Nechoni Amagel. Nechoni Amagel was well known for davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain when an Am Yisrael needed rain. One situation, they desperately needed rain, there's a drought, and it was approaching Pesach, Alila Regel, which meant that every Jew would go to Har Bayis, and it's getting hot out, it's already in Nisan, and they needed water, and there was a big drought. And he had made a deal with a certain wealthy individual who had cisterns of water. He says, I'm going to buy this for you. I promise it's going to rain and fill up all your wells of water. And if not, I owe you 12,000 silver coins. And they made the deal. And as the date approached for him to pay back, it didn't rain. And the individual who made the deal was very happy because he made 12,000 silver coins. And Choni Amagla said, it's not, the sun hasn't set yet. I still have a couple hours left, a couple minutes left. He says, you're telling me it hasn't rained all year. You think today it's going to rain and fill up my wells? It's impossible. He went to the bathhouse, the Gemara says, all happy and excited. And Choni Amagla drew a circle. He drew a circle and davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should rain and start to rain hard, start to rain soft, and finally it was enough rain to fill up all the wells. And the individual comes out of the bathhouse, still laughing. He says, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered your tefillah, but a deal's a deal. The sun already had set. And it filled up, and it's too late. Deadline hit. Where's my money? So Choni Amagla went back to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, please, please let the sun come back up. Let it rise. And the sun came back up again. And he's one of three people in history to be able to hold the sun back up. Choni Amagla, Yoshua ben Nun, and Moshe Rabbeinu. It's quite a prestigious group. So that's who Choni Amagla is. So there's another story about Choni Amagla. He was once walking, and he was troubled by the following pasuk that we say, Shir Hamalos B'Shuv Hashem Es Shivas Tzion Ayinu Kecholmim. That the Shivas Tzion, the returning of Tzion between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, is like a dream. So how many years were in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni? 70 years. Remember the number 70 we started with? 70. 70 years. Because who dreams? Hainu Kechomim? Who dreams for 70 years? It doesn't make any sense. And so one time he was walking as he was bothered by this pasuk. And he saw an individual who was planting a carob tree. He's planting a carob tree. And he says, excuse me, sir, how long does it take for this carob tree to start giving off carobs? He says, around 70 years. He says, so you think you're going to live another 70? You're already 25. You think you're living another 70 years? He says, no, it's not for me. It's for my children. My father planted me, a carob tree for me. I'm planting now for my children. And so what happened was, Choni Amagla fell into a deep slumber, the Gemara says. And all the bushes began to grow over him, so no one was able to see him. And he had vanished for 70 years. No one knew where he was. And he woke up after 70 years. Hainu kechomim, the dream that he wandered for 70 years. The 70, the complete entity of 70, that number 70. The 70 people who went down to Mitzrayim. The 70 umos ha'olam, the 70 members of Sanhedrin, the 70 panim la'Torah. He slept for 70 years, a complete unit. And what happened when he woke up? He saw an individual eating from that carob tree. He says, are you the guy who planted it? He says, no, my father planted it. And sometimes it takes time and patience to find that nachas in your children. But this was the lesson of the carob tree. It takes time. But if you could have that patience to plant ahead, to invest into your kids, invest into your talmidim, invest into your friends, you may not see that thank you right away, but it's going to get paid back to you in some other form, whether it comes through a carob tree, through an apple tree, through an esok tree, through something else. The thank yous are there. You just have to open up your eyes like Yocheved and be patient and look for it in other forms. In that smile, in that high five, in the good nachas from your kids, you have to just look for it and it's there. So thank you so much for coming out tonight. Everyone should stay warm and safe tomorrow.